I like to get a bunch of men together.
Okay.
Men that are the hardest of the hard. And I want to be with these men.
Catechin. Normally I do a long intro, but we just beat the Duke Blue Devils. Fellas, how we feeling?
Great.
Unbelievable.
It was the greatest experience of my life.
What a game.
My four children, I guess, but
toss up.
You know, yeah, it's up there.
I put it above two of my kids.
Yeah, at least.
Sure.
Those are the, like, uncomfy couch kids.
The resiliency of this team is crazy. Down 9 at half, not playing well. To tell me, if you had told me Jackson scored 1 point, but still make a contribution, we still win. I mean, that's a veteran team right there, boys. It never felt like we were out of it. We felt like we just kept battling and battling and battling. Like, my God, what a win.
There were so many times where it was a situation where we've seen it 1,000 times, end of game, failure to execute. Silly mistakes, and it wasn't us making those for once, which was such a breath of fresh air.
They didn't believe in Mark Pope.
We did.
They didn't believe we were back. Where are they now?
Mm-hmm. They're crying.
Probably cheering for Arkansas, boys.
And yeah. We were screaming at them.
Yeah.
We were screaming.
We said it.
I left it all on the floor tonight.
Hey. I slept since, like, what, the 10th? It's been a journey, bro. Worth every second, though.
Yeah, for this to be the game that we all came to.
Bro, the day we all meet together, let's go.
Yeah, it's just amazing experience. I think that I never felt out of the game, even though we were down for a while. It did feel like we were wearing them down, and that Mark Pope had a strategy to beat Duke that they executed, and it looked different than what you would typically think a Mark Pope offense or whatever would be. And just to see that versatility and see Andrew Carr just nut up and take it to the rim on dudes that are going to be playing a lot of minutes in the NBA.
I got to say, I talked a little bit down on Carr and, like, you know, nitpicked a little bit of things. Hey, give that man his flowers. He absolutely took over. I mean, he made just grown man plays. Just absolutely when we needed it, he took over. He was the best player on the floor when we needed him to be.
I don't know which one of us it was. It could have been Jared. But one of us said, like, hey, the second that Andrew Carr sort of makes that turn and he figures out this role, his role on this team, we could be looking at something special. And then tonight, it looked like he sort of figured out his role. And what happens? Something really special happened.
He scores from all three levels. So they don't know how to defend him. But he doesn't drive. But the way that they move the ball and they have the penetration in their passing game, it's like he can be that dude and be against the best talent on the court.
We kind of talked to you. Well, you mentioned it last time about how in the blue and white game or whatever, but he shot like a bunch of threes, hit a bunch of them. We hadn't really done that in the two exhibitions, the two first games. What did he come out and do tonight? He banged a couple threes right away. Yeah. I feel like, was it two or was it? He had one at least.
So in 30 minutes, 17 points, 3 for 5 from two, 2 for 3 from three, 5 for 6 from the line. It's also super nice to have a guy that size who gets to the line and hits his free throws pretty reliably.
Yeah.
He's been hitting them well. The shot looks good. I thought that he would have a good game here and be a major, major contributor, but I thought he'd do it shooting more. Right. I was really impressed and surprised with his strength inside, how he fought for some of those buckets, and especially in the second half when they were facing us. I mean, he was working for him. None of them came easy.
No.
And he just 3 assists too, 5 rebounds.
They had him guarding Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
That says so much to the amount of faith that Mark Pope has in Andrew Carr.
Just discipline defense.
And he wasn't getting stops like the whole game. You're not going to. It's Cooper Flagg. Yeah. He's really, really good.
That's the thing. Take nothing away from those boys. That's a good dude team.
Yeah, absolutely. Really good
dude team. Yeah, right.
But when we needed to get stops, he buckled down and he got the stops when we needed it most. And he was producing the offensive end of the board. At the beginning of the game, there was a Duke fan chanting, "He's too slow. He's too slow." Mm-hmm.
Very first play.
And Andrew Carr just busts a three.
The one thing, too, I think Pope touched on a little bit in the post game. He said, the attitude of all the guys was like, you saw it the whole time. None of them got after the refs. You didn't see nobody chirping at the refs. None of the players. Yeah. I mean, they you know, played to the crowd, which was sick, and we, you know, backed them up there. But, like, there was not – dude, you know, we've seen some bad body language in, you know, even the SEC this year. Like, dudes not happy when they're winning by 50. And these dudes were down and weren't playing great. I mean, some of the stars on the team didn't play very good, offensively or defense, but they still found a way to make an impact, still kept their heads up. I mean, we'll go over it, but I mean, you know, from BG to Bray, I mean, Bray is defense. My goodness. My
gosh,
that first strip he got on Cooper Flagg, I thought, wait, what?
What was it that they were calling him on defense during the offseason?
I was promised Cone Brea.
Yeah, there was this something about his legs, right? His legs are tin.
I think I said that.
Yeah, he can't guard a folding chair, but he can guard Cooper Flagg.
He kept getting switched on the flag.
Hey, he bowed up, too. He bowed up. He absolutely, they wouldn't have kept him out there if he didn't keep making those stops. And he's incredible. And even after that air ball, I mean, that he had in the beginning, he came back and, you know, dropped it. You know, he missed his next one, but then after that, kept shooting. He didn't he didn't get, you know, hesitant. He still made plays all over the place.
He ended up 2 for 4 from 3.
Perfect. You know, he missed the first two, hit the next two.
Yeah. And this is another, each game so far, it's been somebody different. Yeah. And, you know, tonight things weren't firing for Jackson, but he played, he contributed in other ways.
He fell all over the damn court. Calls.
But somebody else was able to step up.
Somebody being BG for that one stretch. My goodness. Yeah. That boy, he grew up a little bit tonight. I mean,
it's crazy that he's improved from the first to the second to this game.
It's tangible,
And you see the improvement against these dudes.
He slowed down a little bit, and he got those boards. I mean, even you know, you could tell Pope noticed it, too, because even after he fouled a three-point shooter, he didn't pull him out. He kept him in there, made another play. I mean, he's scoring buckets, getting big. Securing a rebound at the end of the defensive possession is critical in those moments, man. It was a total team effort.
He also got isolated on Flagg, and in my head I went, I like this matchup because Brandon Garrison has the athleticism and the length to keep up with him. Sure enough, he got the stop.
I'm talking about growing up, I feel like your ability to learn from your Bucknells and your Wright States is kind of limited because you don't know how well the things you do well there translate. Your mistakes aren't capitalized in the same way they will be against high major competition. But in this game, I won't say easily. It's not like we shot poorly from three, but there's a world in which this game is the score is a lot more lopsided in Kentucky's favor if they hit a bunch of threes and you don't learn. Here, things didn't go great. Like I said, some of the stars struggled.
Yeah.
Amari was 3 for 12 from 2, which is certainly not his typical game. And there's a lot of coaching you can do, and I feel like some of that will stick more because this is a kind of opponent where
foul shots.
He stepped it up
with that when he needed it. I mean,
4 for 5.
Yeah. So each guy kind of had a moment where you're like, but they all kind of had something where you could take away a big positive from it and be like,
these are
teaching moments. This is the third game of the season. We beat Duke, and each guy had a moment where it was just like, that guy came up big. Yeah. Amari got a huge and one.
That was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll take it with that block on the chase down where he swapped that out of bounds, man.
I think Jackson had 2 blocks or 2, right? Jackson
had 2, yeah.
Knipple
and a steal.
Mm-hmm. Was clamped by Jackson. And so you're not going to see much maybe on like the box score for Jackson, but what he did was eliminate the guy who could have went off and they pushed everything to those bigs who got undisciplined You put all of the weight of, yeah, and worn out, and you put all that pressure on a kid, you can beat him. I mean, and we did.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing is you saw, like, they pick, like I say, everyone had a moment where you could say, okay, you know, they were picking each other up. You could see that, like, even, like, you know, Amari getting frustrated. He was banging down. He was trying. I mean, he got the hole a lot. He just a lot of the finishes weren't there, but it's tough. I mean, Flag is a better defensive player than he's an offensive player. He really right. is. That's what he's, you know, going to make his bread on. And seeing BG go up to, you know, and dapping him up, being like, hey, you know, chin up, like, and just seeing the whole team. I mean, that's. There's a long season to go. It's one game. It counts the same as the last two, but it's a big validation for all the things Pope's been doing, saying, putting the out there. I mean, I couldn't be happier for that guy and the team.
I appreciate that we're able to win in a variety of different ways.
Yes.
Like, especially, I think, when you have a coach who's known for having a particular system, very much like Mark Pope is. I mean, mm-hmm. one of the reasons we all were excited initially was these videos about his offense, the video game offense, the threes, the whatever. And like I said, we hit 40% on decent volume, 24 three attempts. But that isn't what helped us win. I mean, we did a lot of other things, and we defended in a way that I didn't know we were capable of. Knipple was 5 for 20, 4 for 12 from 2, 1 for 8 from 3.
Yep, in that second half, 24 points.
26 points. Yeah, after giving up 46 in the first. The
last 10 minutes, Duke scored 11 points.
Yeah. So Mark Pope was like, we're going to wear them down with our identity, and we're going to win that way with this defense that we're going to keep. And we know that they're going to get undisciplined. We know they're going to start fouling. We know we're going to put pressure on them. And if we keep, you know, we keep taking the threes when we have them, we stay in the game. We're never out of the game.
Yeah, just I mean they got the ball back with 26 seconds left, 19 on the shot clock, tied at 72. I mean they had their shit. It's not like this thing was won. We were up 72-70. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they tied up and get a stop, get the ball back, and then you know they, you know, we got to go get that stop and get a buck. I mean, we ended up winning by what, 7 or 5? Was it 5 or 7?
5.
Okay,
77.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, but that thing, I mean, they had to go win that thing. You got to go take that thing. So I don't want to hear Duke lost tomorrow. We won it. None of that. Like this is it was two really good teams going against each other.
Yeah.
And I think the experience won out here. In a sense, because you could kind of tell. I would like to see the shot chart. Because if you say he's 5 for 20, what's his name?
Knipple.
I felt like he must have hit a few in a row in the middle there somewhere. Because I felt like when his drives were stuck in the defense a lot, and he's getting a little dish here and there, or a dump off or a dunk. Like I felt like he was, man, 5 for 20 seems crazy. Because I felt like he was such a threat all night.
He looked good too. Like his off ball movement was great, but Rhea, Jackson, and Ortega, and Lamont. Had him in hell.
I don't think we've talked about Ortega enough. I know we said sort of different guy every night. Mm-hmm. He has already had a game where he was really good, but tonight he was 15 points, 2 for 3 from 3, hit his foul shots, man, 6 rebounds, solid. 3 assists, a block, and 2 steals.
Is he dealing with a little bit of foul trouble too, right?
Yeah. Three fouls, two relatively early.
He almost picked up that three. He had a really smart play to back off on this, had that steal, and he almost had a frustration reach in there right before the end of the first half.
I heard a Duke fan sitting near us say, my God, that kid is strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll love it.
He had the game-sealing steal.
The
Duke fan that was sitting beside us said, make it the Cooper Flag show. They can't guard him. And
ISO,
yeah, and that's exactly what Mark Pope wanted them to do. It's like, just, you know, you have all this other talent, but we're going to make you force it to this kid, and you have to be, he's going to have to be Amari Williams and Andrew Carr.
It is crazy.
And it's like, he ain't going to do it, and he's going to be tired, the cramping, sweating, to where he's slipping and going out of bounds, like, just put him in hell.
That last and one he had, though, was one of the upper body strength to get that thing in there. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, my gosh. Like, that's the last thing he hit, I think. But because we came down and got one ourselves, right? Carr did. He got one right after that. I was just, you could do it, I could do it better.
They answered it. Yeah, they answered a lot of that.
Well, and Duke left the door open a few times, man. There was a few times where they had a big three where I thought, oh, my gosh. But, you know, the resiliency. That's why you keep it one stop at a time, one bucket at a time. You know, they just never – I mean, it didn't ever feel like you're out of it, but it felt like it teetered a couple of times. But, you know, they kept just battling. Make a big play here, get a stop here, take advantage when they miss a shot. I mean, it took everything, but, I mean, what a classic.
And the atmosphere. Yeah. It was Catlanta.
Hey, they
it was loud.
There were a lot of deer.
Your watch went off a few times.
Yeah. My watch warning me of hearing loss from prolonged exposure to loud noises.
Yeah.
The other thing I thought was really interesting, and we talked about this in the car a little bit, was the difference in the atmosphere between the two games.
Oh my gosh.
We were there for Kansas, Michigan State, and it was quiet. I mean, it was Peach Jam was louder.
Yeah, it was.
It was go get your Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It was crazy, and there were a bunch of Kansas fans there, and there were a bunch of Michigan State
sitting
fans.
On the hands, man.
And opening act vibes.
But they weren't. I mean, they were cheering when they scored, but they weren't doing cheers. They were just like celebrating.
They were more relieved.
Yeah, right. They certainly weren't chanting anything. No. We had Go Big Blue over and over, and it was awesome.
I'll tell you what, the number one team might have played tonight, but it wasn't Kansas.
At some point, it was a timeout, and we had a Go Big Blue going, and Colin Chandler just like looked up and appreciated it for a second.
He was like, look at that, dude. We talked to, so that game, it felt like either Duke or Kentucky would have wiped the floor with both of those teams. I think another thing that we noticed, we got to see because we were there, was how the coaches interact with the players in between in the media timeouts and stuff. And it's just fascinating how Mark Fox is interacting with players on an individual level. He is giving some kind of vibe checks to Mark Pope. You have Figure is like just giving a debrief to Mark Pope every time, and they're letting the players kind of dive a little bit
I love that they do like a separate coaches huddle first, which also means the players get to like have a check-in with each other in their own huddle without the coaches.
Yep.
And then the coaches come over and probably disseminate the information that they decided was important.
Right.
You know, and it's just a nice, thoughtful, calm, like in the moment approach.
Yeah.
They're present. They're not worried about.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I feel like I'd be frantic. Especially depending on the game flow or the score, and like, I got to get to these guys. I got to talk to these players. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're able to take a moment and think, what do we want to tell them? How do we want to get this message across? And also, I really think it's valuable to let the players sort of debrief for a second, breathe and not just immediately.
And talk each other up and let them lead.
Mm-hmm. Not immediately be receiving information. And it's just a different approach, man.
I think that's just kind of how it seems that Mark Pope is approaching the whole thing. Is he has the trust in his coaches.
Empowerment.
Yeah, he empowers them. And the trust in the players, that you have these older, seasoned players. And all of this just kind of seems to be just running downhill from coach to the assistant coaches to the veteran players to the younger players.
He's the commander. And it's like beautiful the way that he orchestrates this whole operation. It's everything about it is deliberate. Everything, like Lamont Butler is obviously teaching these dudes how to defend on the perimeter. It's just like you see Lamont Butler, and you can see it in his film before, and then you see these other dudes, the guards
defensive play.
Yeah,
Otega's a pest.
And they're just sticky. They're not fouling like crazy, and the other teams are constantly worried about losing the ball. They're just destroying the passing lanes, and it's you can tell. He has this approach to coaching that is, I start here, and then, this guy is going to be my expert at this thing. But then there's also the players that are doing that on their level as well. And it's obviously been incredible for the development in such a short time, the third game of the season. And they're, like, Kobe Brea looked amazing. Kirk Risa, we didn't really talk too much about Kerr, but the way that he will take the starting five will go out there and they'll just give it their all. And then like towards the end, they're going to get gas a little bit. And Kirk Risa comes back and then he just mashes the gas pedal again. Mm-hmm. And it puts the other team right back on their heels. And it keeps that state. And it wore Duke down.
A few more plays than they did.
He wasn't even allowing them like mental breaks. No. Like after a score.
That ball is inbound is so quick, bro. Like, it is gone. Like,
I'm going to throw that mother just all the way down the court. When that inbound play, 5 seconds left to go with Lamont, I was like, I was wondering what they were going to do. Like, who are they going to get in to get fouled to whatever.
Through a goal ball.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was.
Well, and Carr started way out, like towards our basket. And then he bolted like he was going to be the guy to get it.
Right.
Meanwhile, Lamont is just sprinting back towards us
as fast as possible.
Love that. Because even if he doesn't catch it, it's a turnover on the other end. It's not down at that where they trap, you steal, maybe score the ball type deal.
Yeah. I mean, I was very surprised that the Duke player got low enough to get the foul because because Lamont got low.
And in 0.4 seconds.
One thing that I also appreciate is that so much of the basketball I've watched in my life, be it Cal or Patino, they have two of the lowest two-foul participation rates every year. You know, if in the first half you pick up two fouls, you're out. You're sitting until after halftime, almost without exception. And I'm biased. I thought the whistle was awful in the first half, especially. Just brutal. Ticky-tack. Just crazy. Mm-hmm. And we had three guys pick up two fouls right away. And they didn't come out right away. They did sit some. They probably played fewer minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But they did still play. We got the ability to keep doing our pace thing, keep playing the way we wanted to with them. And nobody ended up with more than three fouls. So those guys played the whole second half pretty carefully. Yeah. And
that even goes back to the theme of trust.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, big time. And his players. I found myself watching voices hanging on by a thread, guys.
It's after dark, baby.
We were bringing it tonight. We came through.
Oh yeah.
We did our part.
We did.
I found myself a lot of times tonight just watching Pope while the game was going on. Just during the game, you can't really see how he's handling himself on the sidelines. He's not like screaming at the guys, but you wouldn't think that he was like that anyways. But there was a controversial call. I don't remember what exactly it was. There was quite a bit of them.
Cooper Flagg and somehow never getting a third foul.
And Pope goes up to the ref, and he's kind of letting him have it, and he's just kind of talking to him like that. He's probably mother fricking him.
Yeah.
Knowing coach. And but the thing is, he's not like berating the coach. He's just telling him what he's thinking. And that was nice to see. But there's another part where he's getting a little upset either at the players or the coaches, and he's kind of drifting off the sideline a little bit, and he locks eyes with Mark Fox, and Mark Fox just looks at him and goes like that, and Pope just immediately backs down. And once again, just the trust and the lack of ego. That lack of ego.
I mean, I deal with this at work every freaking day where I'm like just dealing with people who think that they're the smartest person. And the thing is nobody is the smartest person. It takes like a certain special kind of person to lead in a way that
delegate
and trust your people to do and trust yourself to have gathered the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to just have nailed this entire like staff building approach, the way that he built the roster, and he picked these like, I want to pick a guy that can teach my bigs how to defend. I want a guy that can teach my perimeter dudes how to defend, and they are doing that.
You can see through the standards there. Like, you know, Lamont's putting out that standard. You see Bray out there guarding like he Lamont. Yep. Man. I mean,
also, Lamont doesn't make mistakes. Like, he had two turnovers today.
I think we only gambled once on one steal pass. They hit a three on us with that one. But it was the only time. We took some chances, and we got some steals. And
two turnovers. But fine.
It's almost as though
we had 10 total.
He brought in Mark Fox as, like, a coach for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. You don't need yes men around you all the time. He's just going to tell you how great you are. I mean, he understands, like, there's things he had to grow with and learn. He's been a coach for how many years now? But still,
and he was the first coach. It was his coach of coaching. And but now Mark Fox gets to be that without the pressure of doing the post game and like dealing with the entire roster construction and whatnot. He gets to do the coaching stuff, the players coach and the coaches.
And he was getting the boys fired up tonight. Oh, yeah. Mark Fox had them locked in.
Yeah, that's so surprised at how much Mark Fox is involved.
Yeah, hey, he has them. They love that guy. Yeah. They really do. And the only thing I was going to add to that about, like, you talk about Pope and how he does things is you notice when a lot of coaches, when they have, when a guy make a mistake and you got to come off, or gets a foul, whatever, you got to come off the floor, it's not get out. It's, hey, he's getting the guy that's coming in. Like, let's go. You know, and he's getting him hyped and he's loving up on the guy coming out, teaching him, but he's not, you know, MFing him the whole way there and like, or just like ignoring him as he walks past him and the guy's pissed off and goes and sits down and the assistant goes and tries to like caretake him, you know what I mean? Yeah. Which is, you see that all the time. I'm not saying just with the previous coaches here, I'm saying with all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw it with Tom Izzo and Self tonight. It's
ego.
It's very different. It's very different approaches, honestly. Yeah. Very different approaches.
Assist of the game was not basketball related. Mm-hmm. It was Amari and BG were subbing. And whoever came off the bench threw the towel up in the air, whoever was coming in caught it and just walked right back to the bench. It was great.
Well, somebody should have threw a towel to Cooper Flagg. He might have not slipped and slide all over that.
The court must have been slippery because a couple times Lamont really, really slipped.
Yeah.
It's odd that it was a foul when we slipped and not a foul when they slipped. But
I felt like after Pope did a good, they do a good job on the refs. Like it got evened up a little bit. There's some stuff. Like Cooper Flagg ran into dudes like without the ball, and like, you know, he hit Lamont and he hit Ortega twice when Ortega got a board and he came through. And that's called in every game in America, but you'll see it all season long. I have no idea how that dude didn't pick up his third.
But if you don't want to call it, don't call it.
Right, but
they then really else. Don't call it either way.
They literally called it on as he stole that ball. We went to go do the same thing.
If you want to let the boys play, let all the boys play.
Yeah. There was a moment tonight where Ortega got a rebound, came down, and caught a hand across the face.
Yeah.
And he looks up at the crowd like,
He's like, am I bleeding? No call.
No call.
The way that the boys ball. Just go straight to the crowd instead of like at the refs.
Hey,
Creasa at some point, it was a controversial call, and Creasa was like, let's hear it.
He ran
up. His energy. I mean,
I saw anyone say anything to the refs. I don't think I saw one.
Not one.
Of course, his like basketball energy, his pace, the way he plays is awesome.
You know what's interesting? I'm sorry to interrupt.
But also, he works the crowd.
Yeah.
Absolutely not our player. I would hate him.
Yeah,
but he's ours, and it's wonderful.
He also seemed like a calming presence for the team.
Yeah, he'd been in big games.
Yeah, you could tell that they were in good hands when he was out there. He's not like going to light up the scoreboard or anything like that, but you feel like you're not going to have any sort of like crazy stuff go on when Kerr's handling
it. He had a couple shots. I think he had
some big shots.
Dude, I thought he was going to hit that one.
The logo one? Yeah. Oh, that heat check,
He wanted that one.
I was telling that Duke fan, tried to tell me he's going to learn a lesson for talking trash. I'm like, really talk trash to Luka Doncic.
He worried about that.
I'm not saying he's better than those players. I'm saying he's not going to back down.
He doesn't really talk trash. He just says, like,
he just got some bravado to him. Yeah. A little swag, bro. Like, just that.
It was at some point I looked up and Lamont was covering his mouth while he was talking to the guy he was defending. He's like, I don't want anyone to read my lips. Like, I've got some shit to talk for you and you alone.
Yeah. Get him with the Larry Bird.
He's like,
why aren't you doubling me?
Okay. Give me that shit.
During that block.
Oh, bro.
That block was over him.
Gosh. We said the same thing. And then we got mad at him.
There were a lot of big moments that just lit the fire under the crowd, like just immediate.
Dude. All of a sudden we're down four. It's going crazy because it got to nine. I think it got to 10, you said, right? But it kept going back to nine. They miss a big shot. We get it down to six, and then they get it to eight. We get, you know, just back and forth. Back. When we got it down to four and to three, it like you could just feel it. It just felt – when we got that ball back, and who was it that drove down and hit the two free? It was Lamont. Did give us the lead the first
towards the end.
So when he's coming down the court, I'm thinking this is happening. Like if the clock's ticking down, I see no shot going.
Rule of 72, baby.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah, they execute the end of the game well.
They took the last.
Well, like we're well coached.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
If and this is more bigger picture. If you could pick like order the four teams that we saw tonight. And sort of power rank them on how you would look at them coming out of tonight momentum wise.
I would actually, yeah.
How would you order that?
I would go Kentucky, Duke, Michigan State, Kansas.
That's exactly what I would have said.
I think Kansas feels the worst out of the four. Like they
were disjointed. They didn't look like they were having
without Hunter Dickinson. They lose that game by 30. So yeah. Arkansas, good job, you beat them with that.
The vibes are off with that team.
Yeah,
something's wrong.
Yeah,
Michigan State's not a. I mean, you know, I'd like him to be good. I like Zeman Zapala, shout out former Aggie, but I mean, he's just a big body. He's not in there trying to be all American, and he was right. Chest.
They were fighting. Like Michigan State was definitely.
Michigan State had a shot there. I mean, a couple times, but that's not a very good Michigan State team for what they've been in the past. Yeah. It's the number one team. We're talking about the number one team in the country, Kansas. They ranked number one tonight. They did not look that at all.
No. And I think Duke, they get some conditioning, and like they're gonna be a problem. Now, you have to have both like Knipple and Flag producing for them to be like super effective offensively.
They need something from Proctor too.
Yeah. He was all right though.
Yeah, but like they need. More from him.
Well, we didn't let him have more.
They
didn't bring it.
On him. Yeah.
They'll do that against a lot of good teams, just not this one.
Our perimeter defense is ridiculous. It's not just because we have Lamont Butler. It's because we have Lamont Butler osmosis on these other very talented dudes.
And it's a standard, man.
Kobe
Bryant. And Amari.
I hope so much that Perry and Noah and Chandler are sponges and just picking stuff. And I think they are. Yeah, I mean, Kerr has a very specific way that he moves the ball down the court.
Mm-hmm.
It's fast, but like it looks different from most other fast guys I've seen.
Yeah.
And in one of the, it may have been Bucknell, there was one play where Travis Perry was bringing the ball. Or I think it was Wright State, actually. Travis Perry was bringing the ball down the court, and he looked like Kerr.
Yeah.
He moved like him. He was fat. I mean, he pushed with the same
He moves with a lot of momentum. And like he knows where he's going to go
just
based off of the movement of the defense. Mm-hmm. And he knows where he's going to attack from the get-go, and he hits it so fast that he's going to get there, and nothing's going to take him off of that. And it's – keeps that pace going, and it also gives him a solid place to start off the offense. And it's very fun to watch.
It's so fast, but it never feels out of control.
No.
Right, no. Right.
It felt a little out of sorts at the very beginning. I felt some nerves. You know, guys were kind of, hey, this is a little different right now.
Yeah.
But one thing I was going to say to that effect is the last couple of games, you know, you're blowing teams out. Well, even the exhibitions, they've been blowing everybody out. Right? It's the first game they've been challenged, really. Second halves have been a little challenging defensively, but a lot of points in the second half to clamp down from 46 to 26, and they're on pace for 90-some more points. They ain't get that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge. That's a 14-point turnaround in the second half.
Yes.
Yeah. Against a very good team with the consensus probably number one pick. I mean,
That last 10 minutes with 11 points for Duke is huge. We had 24 points in that same span. I mean, that's the
difference.
That's it. It came down to that last 10 minutes when Duke was gassed and we.
Yeah, and I don't think Duke is overrated either.
No,
they
looked good.
And you see them in real life. Cooper Flagg is ridiculous. Knipple's off ball movement is ridiculous.
He's big too.
Jackson Robinson was in charge of eliminating that entire aspect, that facet of their offense, and it worked. They shot, 17% from three? 14% from three? Something crazy.
Yeah, they were.
I feel like they never got good looks. When they got the good look, I feel like it went in, honestly. But we contested everything.
They didn't get good looks. And then also, they always had a dude in their face. And there was a few fouls. Like, they had a few three-point fouls.
Yeah.
But that aggressiveness to defend the three eliminated it.
We were 10 for 25 for 40%. They were 4 for 23. So we took two more but hit six more.
In the first half, we were like 30% from the field and then 42% from the three. And that aspect of the offense and taking it when it's given to you, even if it's Brandon Garrison, it keeps us in the game. And it keeps us in the game to a point where it's like defensively, this is going to be tough because these dudes are – dudes, but once we get them cramping.
And I thought the biggest thing for me, when we talked about this at halftime, is that we kept it at 9 because they had a couple chances to push it past there. And then the start of the second half to get it to 6 to 5, whatever. We went on a little bit of a run of like 4 or 5 points, got it back. And they did push it back, but had we not done that, they might have put it out of reach. Like there's a couple times where it felt like it was teetering and they never wavered, same over and over again. And eventually the results came. You know,
it was bend don't break. It was very, like, it reminded me a lot of like, football strategy. You bend, don't break, and then you keep pounding the rock until they don't want to tackle you anymore.
Yeah.
And that, or, like, Andrew Carr took advantage of that in the second half. You could they were starting to draw fouls because the dudes were wore out and they were being undisciplined.
Yeah, Duke Center, he got cramps in the middle of the game, and that's when the Andrew Carr takeover happened. Mm-hmm. And he ended up coming back, but by that time we were already feeling it.
Mm-hmm. This was pretty late. I don't know what minute marker it was, but at some point, really late in the game, Duke inbounded the ball, and Cooper Flagg was like stumbling, he was walking.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a great competitor. He's a great basketball player, but he was tired.
And he played a ton.
It was like 34 minutes, so like he played a ton.
We got really lucky with our seats because we did game time. If you want to give us a sponsor, we can tell the story.
If you want to give us more tickets,
But we ended up in a really good spot. And the second half, they were shooting right at the goal. We were right behind the goal. So it was really fun, and it was like the atmosphere was great. Right, we really got to feel like we were in the game, but you don't get to see, like, especially the other side of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And there was some stuff that I'm interested to go watch. We'll talk about it, I guess, when we do the weekly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Cooper Flagg is ridiculous. He's ridiculous, but not ridiculous enough to single-handedly put a game away.
It took everything.
I think he had 26 and 12.
26, 12. Yeah. I mean,
he made some moves that were insane.
Yeah, he spins really, really well.
There was a couple of things that were in to that middle. Like, right in the start of the second half, I don't know if you remember, Jared, I pointed out to you when Carr dove after that rebound. Like, he cut in front of the cat. Like, dudes were diving on the floor. Right. Like, you could tell that we turned up a little bit. That effort was turned up a little bit. And there was, you know, nobody came out and pouted. You know, dudes were diving on the floor. Even, you know, Butler got pulled. I think did Butler have 3 fouls at one point?
Yeah.
So he was in and out with. I mean, he had big moments, and he got when he would get taken, it didn't seem to affect him. When he came back in, he still was just as, you know, he was himself. He was LB. He was trying to do all the things he does defensively, and wasn't playing like trying to avoid getting that next foul, trying to do this. They were giving everything out there. That's a team winner.
Ortega away being a linebacker genetics, really, I think it adds another facet to the game that I don't think anybody has expected so far, because him going and just bruising when he penetrates from the perimeter or whatever, and then he also still hits his threes. So they have to chase him. And I think that's really kind of given another level to the Mark Pope offense that probably didn't really exist at BYU. I'm excited to see, like, especially as we see new rosters going forward and stuff, it's like there's going to be those types of dudes that can break that, like, outer shell and then distribute it inside to or whoever's,
One, and we sort of touched on this, but Amari was 3 for 12. From two.
Yeah.
And that's rare for him. I mean, mm-hmm. and they're pretty close shots. He just had shot after shot that was bounce off the rim.
Yeah. It worked so hard to get to the rim, I think it threw him off.
I mean, if he goes 6 of 12, that's...
Oh, yeah. We don't miss six free throws.
That's a totally different game.
Yeah.
How did the Almanora? He gave some, I don't know his stats, but I felt like he gave some quality defensive reps. He was out there and he was playing hard. I know he had to come in a couple times for some dudes.
So he only played 10 minutes, 3 points on 1 3-pointer, no other counting stats other than an assist and a foul.
So but, when he came in, I just felt like his energy level was great. Pope was gassing, like, hey, we need you right now. I'll have to go back and watch it, but I just remember being like, you know, it was when he got in there, he did what he could do to help the team.
Well, and kind of interestingly, certainly once, I think twice, he was just wide open in the corner.
Yeah.
And Caleb said he gets to the corner so fast.
Yeah.
In transition, after a made basket, either way, he sprints to the corner, which from the Bucknell game really helped with spacing. It gave Amari a great rim run. And we actually didn't get that so much because twice they left him wide open, which means it doesn't help with the spacing.
Yeah.
And we just were unable to get the ball to him. But, one time he was jumping up and down, waving his arm.
And I think it might have been Mark Pope probably was telling them, we're trying to like pound.
I think the focus is
right. Maybe
it's like so they get a little bit single minded. So you even like you beat Duke and you can still see like
they're gonna
like look at the film and be like, I know I was saying this, but he's gonna hit that three if you just pass it over there,
right?
And make that happen.
Well, it was a defensive bust by Duke. It's not like they no one sits there and says like, let's make Almanor beat us with the three because he will. It's not like it's a four, leave him open. Yeah. It's absolutely that was a bust that just worked out in their favor because that's not what we were doing on that play, despite him being. The only person on that half of the court. Single
person that I'm mad at shooting a three. Garrison, I mean, he
wears a size smaller shoe. Long
two, yeah.
Twice I told him already to shoot it.
Yeah.
And then his shot is not beautiful. But if you're open, take it.
And they prove weren't as threat. Open. So that's probably, they're going to feel that a little bit differently because they're not as open as they were against Rice State.
Right. I mean, here's the thing, though. You're not going to play a bigger team. That's the biggest team in college. Yeah. That's the tallest team in college. That is probably got the number one pick, and a couple other guys that are going to be in the league. Yeah,
probably Knipple might be top five.
Hey, the Duke fans behind me think that he might be better than Cooper Flagg by the end of the year. That's what three of them said. So,
well, there was a lot of Twitter takes over the past, like, two games that were like, I think the best freshman in college basketball is a Duke kid, but it ain't Cooper Flagg or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you see tonight the freakishness of Cooper Flagg, and you're like, nah, this is the dude. But you did see, this guy he operates in a very like modern basketball, and he's beefy. Mm-hmm. He's a big dude.
Mm-hmm.
His off ball movement is ridiculous. He's very smooth with it, but our dudes clamped him down, clamped those nipples.
Welcome to the new college basketball roster building, man. I hope had a vision. I'm telling you, it's been the right guy the whole time. That's how you build a team, bro.
I'm at this point in the season, like I knew I was bummed that we only had 1 year with seven of these guys.
Yeah.
But I am so much more upset about that than I thought I'd be. Yeah. You know, it's
weird.
I know, right?
No, it's crazy, right?
But so many people are like, hey, you don't have a guy that can get a bucket, or you didn't get NBA talent, or you didn't. And it's like, but they're good. I mean, they're good. They play together. They've gelled immediately. They work hard. They execute. They're disciplined. And it is Almanor in particular. Like his skill set is so good for this. And Carr too. It's just such a shame that.
We get 1 year, both of them.
And thank God we assuming they don't transfer, we get BG back, we get OA back. Like that's huge.
Go to the league.
Because
BG, if he keeps at this trajectory by SEC time, he's a top 10 pick because he is a freak athlete and he's getting more confident and he's getting a lot more of that like just smoothness to him. For that improvement to happen during this game as well, it's like all he needs is minutes. It doesn't matter if it's against a team in the craziest environment he's probably ever played in. He's still getting better, which just that's such a testament to the coaching and the mentorship of the staff for him to make another step today. Because he looked more polished.
I'm glad that we can finally, because all offseason, I'm so glad we can put this to rest now, this whole Kentucky needs a bucket getter narrative, because we heard that all offseason before Jackson came on the team, and then we get Jackson and like, Kentucky finally got their bucket getter. And then you would think if we needed one so badly, that if we had a game where our bucket getter didn't
fail to get buckets.
Yeah. Where it didn't even
the first point.
Have a field goal. Like the entire first half,
the entire game.
It's
1 point.
You would think that we would need a bucket getter, and what happens? We beat Duke. MF, and honestly, so you don't really know what's going on like in the huddles or what the players are saying to each other. But if it's a night where Jackson's like, I'm not really feeling it tonight and stuff like that, good on him for not like forcing his shot because. You could shoot us out of the game.
Yeah, no, he's not that's feeling a it. Really good point. Because it's odd, man. We're not going to keep tuning your own horn, but
no, they did seemingly focus on taking Jackson out of the game.
Yep.
Which, so you keep the spacing where it's like, okay, we're going to keep Jackson over here, and he's going to be like a point in which the ball moves through. But really, and he's going to attract a lot of defensive attention. And I think it was, it felt deliberate.
And a game like tonight helps Jackson because it proves that you can take Jackson Robinson out of the game nearly completely and still lose.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to say is I did see some people talking about his body language and stuff like that. Nonsense. The dude was out there competing his ass off.
Yeah.
Out there on the floor.
He's defensively pumped for his guys.
And there's a couple of shots you'll see. He got called offensive foul on time with dude out, two arms in his chest. And he kept the ball dry. I don't know how it became a foul. And it's the one where we were saying how strong he was.
Yeah, I turned around and said,
he must have hit the gym. So Jackson's strong. He's not that strong.
Turn around and said, Jackson's been in the gym.
There was one play where we might have just lost track of what the shot clock was, but Jackson's trying to get it up, but he's just got like, he's literally trying to get it up. There's just a Duke guy just smothering him.
Yeah,
what are you supposed to do at that point?
Yeah. But you didn't see him pout. He shook it off, and he didn't hit another shot. He didn't hit a shot the rest of the game, but he went out there and he kept competing. You know what I mean?
We're going to watch it and talk about it later, but I really think his impact on the perimeter defense.
Oh, yeah.
It takes away
two blocks.
Facet. Yeah, he did. Yeah,
and a steal.
I mean, they had a horrible 3-point percentage because of Jackson Robinson.
Yeah, I don't want to hear them. They lost it themselves. We put them in hell, man. Yeah. We had them in the walls of Jericho, bro. We clamped them up.
Clint Knipple.
And what a validating win. You know what I mean? Like that, it validates. I mean, there's a whole lot of season to come. There's gonna be some ups. There's gonna be some downs. But that right there against that team, that dude, not just Duke in general, but that Duke team in particular, it validates everything he's been saying since the moment he was hired to now. It's legitimate. I mean, it's BBN's team. It's not about him. It's the, you know, everything he's saying. It's one thing to beat some other teams, but to beat Duke like that, Cal probably only beat Duke once.
And this is a roster he put together in a month.
Yeah.
Very deliberately.
Yeah. With practically no ability to get freshmen.
See, because I'm with you where I'm like, oh, but, you know, we're going to lose these dudes, and these are the dudes that are teaching the other dudes, and it's like, what if – it's like, oh, but, you know, he can just do this again because he's proven that he can do it. And now he's going to have this body of work to show as a recruiting tool.
He can show film of how I'm going to use you that isn't dudes in BYU uniforms. Right. Yeah, that'll be
– super improvement.
That'll be huge.
Yeah.
Caleb Wilson was at the game.
Yeah, he's a cat.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, maybe. I would have – if I was him, I would have went down there and been like, just give me jersey now.
Yeah, let's go. Like,
Coach Cal, Caleb Wilson, sorry, not going to make it this weekend.
Yeah. I did tweet out someone's in the house tonight.
We're putting 5-star players in the roles of these players.
Right.
Along with the transfer portal additions that he clearly has an eye for.
He's going to do both the whole way.
Especially because, for
that mentorship aspect you're talking about, for the experience, Nick, all that stuff.
Because right now you see that Brandon Garrison, Ortega Owe, Jackson Robinson. It's like these are the more like freakish athletes. But they have these other dudes mentoring them.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Otega Owe and Brandon Garrison specifically improving.
He was so good.
And like they're going, like especially by the end of the season, those two dudes are going to be super contributors. So you see this cycle approach that Mark Pope is probably going to be implementing. And it's going to be with Caden Lewis, with Jasper Johnson, and Caleb Wilson, Malachi Moreno, just
hoping for about 35 more games of this before I start thinking about that. But
yeah. But I go see what like the sales pitch is.
Oh, the vision's there, man. He's very deliberate in everything he does. Like,
we're gonna have to replace a lot of dudes.
Yeah,
but he's gonna have more time to do it, and easier time recruiting, and more money.
And he's not gonna be. I mean, here a lot of the portal decisions had like been made.
Yeah.
Before we hired him. I mean, there were guys that were off the table because other coaches had been recruiting him since the season was still going on. Some guys had already committed elsewhere. Like he was really – his talent evaluation was, like, killer anyway.
Yeah.
But especially given the limitations he had from a timing perspective, like the portal always worries me because especially when it comes to what freshmen do you recruit, what holes do you leave to then be filled by the portal? Because you don't know what's going to be available. You don't know who's going to be trying to leave their school.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's kind of a, what if you need a center and there isn't a center that fits your mold that you want?
Well, then you go to Eastern Europe.
But like, but like knowing how constrained he was.
Yeah.
This time and what he managed to do. It was so little time.
He also very obviously had a type of dude, like psychological.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I don't
even want it.
I wonder if there's anyone he wanted that like wasn't available. You say a lot of dudes aren't available, like, but he went to Lamont Butler before any of us even thought. I mean, he handpicked this team, and I honestly don't. I mean, I'm sure there's a guy he would have wanted to even get or whatever, but honestly, it felt like he got everybody, and it was not necessary.
I gotta cut that.
Hey, but I mean,
but like his attitude right now is like in at Arkansas, it's like not
who.
Seeing, but we were, that was supposed to be a target, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And I don't think that he actually was, because I don't think his personality really goes with
it. I wouldn't trade, especially I wouldn't trade Jackson for Chaz Lanier. Chaz Lanier looked really, really good in Tennessee's win over Louisville. I think he's the real deal. I was sort of worried about him, how his game would translate moving up from North Florida, but you know, by all accounts, an incredibly small sample size looks to be the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that we have Jackson, who is able, especially this year, to be a translator to the rest of these guys about this is what a Pope offense should feel like. This is how we should be playing. And this is when Mark Pope says X, what he really means for you, like as a player, like how you should interpret that as well.
What the standard is, too. And,
and Chaz looks good now, but let's see how he looks against Lamont Butler and Otega Owen.
Sure, right.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, Duke's perimeter offense in the last two games, and then probably for the rest of the season, very, 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 very good.
That's a really good Duke thing.
Yeah. Our guards had them in hell. And then our big men did just enough to win the game.
I think we want to see them again, boys.
Yeah.
It was interesting that in both Duke's sort of like early tune-up mid-major games, they scored near 100 points. And in both of ours, we scored near 100 points. We had on both accounts, we, both Duke and us, had almost the same number of possessions in all of those games. And then this ends up 77-72.
They were on pace for 92, though, right?
Yeah, really cut it back at half. I mean, we made great adjustments. That is so nice to see. To see a coach that can keep a cool head when you're down against a really, really talented, really good, favored team. And come up with some adjustments that are then executed well, and you can make such a change in their scoring is fantastic.
You're about to see a top 10 Kentucky team next time the polls come up. With.
I mean, keep us 25.
All right,
keep me 25, and we're gonna go to the West Coast to beat Gonzaga. We're gonna go beat the hell out of Louisville. get going in SEC play. Keep us at 25. Keep us picked middle of the pack in the SEC.
Oh, come on, I blew that wide open today, bro.
Yeah, so somebody said we're 500 in conference team. I don't know.
They had us below A&M in the preseason conference rankings.
And Florida, don't see us winning in
Mississippi State.
No miss. Time, but you know,
yeah.
Hell of a win.
Yeah, and it shows that they can be.
Hey, they put anybody in the country. That's what I'm saying. I've been saying number 9's on the table this season. I see people saying they're a year away. It was the worst team they've ever had. No, that's built to win a title. They've all said it.
This isn't the best that they're going to be.
No, they're far from a finished product.
We said they gelled super quick, and they did. But they also have a lot of growing to do. Yeah. They're still learning
especially
each
on an individual
games.
Basis. Like, Brandon Garrison he's not a liability out there, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you see, like, oh, his ceiling is much higher than he's currently being asked to produce at.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you're also seeing he can hit this ceiling this year.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, scary because it means probably losing another dude. But, yeah, we're going to do a lot of, we haven't seen any of the interviews. We haven't seen the game on TV. So we have a lot more to talk about. We've already talked like for almost an hour.
We only meant to talk for 20 minutes.
But
what a win, though.
It was fun. It was just a perfect start to serious basketball. And it was very fun. It was both teams played very well and were fun to watch. It was such good basketball.
The pace was good. Great. The atmosphere was awesome.
Yeah, electric in there.
And it wasn't very adversarial at all.
Yeah, like, the Duke fans behind us, I mean, like, people were laughing at each other's jokes. It was
tense for like 2 minutes, and then we got a little.
The Duke fans behind us were talking about inflation. Like, nerds, shut up, you know. But it's Duke fans for me.
It was a great experience. Mm-hmm. I hadn't been to a Champions Classic.
Duke fan beside me said, "This is blue blood basketball." And just like, we're so fucking back.
It's just a shame they didn't have any of that in the first game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was tough.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I like ball, but like.
But you can zag in here next year instead of Michigan State, and then maybe can just like, rebound. I don't know.
Yeah, that's about it.
Well, it's 2:30 in the morning.
All right.
Oh, go Cats. Let's go.
Thank you for joining the Catechin. Please like and subscribe. And hey, do you like our shirts? Because we have a link to it in the description below. Please buy our shirt.
Or don't, but listen at least.
We will see you guys in a few days. This has been the Catechin. And go Cats.
Go Cats, baby.